They went to the Grey Gull every Wednesday night. They sat outside in the warm night where they could look at the town dock and the harbor and across the harbor at Paradise Neck and Stiles Island. Jen had a glass of Chardonnay. Jesse drank cranberry juice and soda. "Are you solving your murder?" Jen asked. "Not exactly," Jesse said. "Progress? Some." "Try not to be such a blabbermouth," Jen said. Jesse smiled. "I'm preoccupied with you," he said. "I'm not sure that's good for you, but I guess I like it." "I thought I had the dead girl ID'd," Jesse said. "But the people who are supposed to be her parents say they have no such daughter." "Well, they would know, wouldn't they?" "One of the daughters they do have was there," Jesse said, "younger, maybe 12, 13. So? There was something wrong. Kid looked like she'd been frozen. "Wrong? Yep. You think parents would pretend not to have a child when they really did?" "Maybe." "Why?" "Maybe she was bad. Maybe it was one of those 'never darken my door again, I no longer have a daughter' things." "So, you can find that out, can't you?" "I can. I haven't yet." "They have any other children?" "Yes, an older daughter. She's at Mount Holyoke College. They called and left a message. She hasn't called back." "How can a parent deny a child?" Jen said. "I've seen it before," Jesse said. "Kid disappoints the parent. Parent can't stand the disappointment. If the kid doesn't exist, then the disappointment doesn't exist." He sipped some cranberry juice and soda. "It's hard to live with the fact of your own failure every day," he said. "I know. We both live with that," Jesse said. "It's my fault," Jen said. "I'm the adulteress." "And I'm the drunk," Jesse said. "It does no good, Jen." "I know." The black water moved quietly against the pilings beneath the deck. The light gleamed singularly at the end of Paradise Neck. Some of the big pleasure boats in the harbor were lighted. People sat, mostly on the after deck, and drank cocktails. They looked at their menus. They both ordered lobster salad. "You know what my shrink told me?" Jen said. Jesse smiled. "No," he said, "I don't." "He said that the bond between us was truly impressive, even though we're divorced," Jesse said. "Maybe more so because we're not together." "So the bond has to be strong," Jesse said. "It's all there is to hold us," Jen said. "Maybe it shouldn't," Jesse said. "Maybe we should move on." "We should," Jen said. "But we don't," Jesse said. "We can't," Jen said. "But we don't get married." "I can't," Jen said. "And we're not monogamous." "When I think of it," Jen said, "you and me, till death do us part, I feel claustrophobic." "You and the shrink figured out why that is?" "Not yet," Jen said. Jesse looked at Jen's face. He knew it so well. He felt the need begin to rise like water filling a glass. He wanted a drink. Something more than cranberry juice. He felt that need rising too. And the needs became one need. He took in some air. "Hang on." He took in a big breath and exhaled slowly, trying not to let it show. Jen put her hand out and rested it on his hand. "But we will," she said. "I hope so," Jesse said. His voice was flat with the effort of repression. "I do too," Jen said. "Maybe you and he will find a way to break the bond," Jesse said. "I don't think so," Jen said. "Good." "This is very hard," Jen said. "It is." Jen's hand was still resting on his forearm. "But we're still here," Jen said softly. "We are," Jesse said.